Our epistle for this Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. Brethren, when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, he entered once for all through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation. Nor again by virtue of blood of goats and calves, but by virtue of his own blood, into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkled ashes of a heifer sanctify the unclean unto the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the Holy Spirit offered himself unblemished unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And this is why he is mediator of the new covenant, that whereas a death has taken place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the former covenant, they who have been called may receive eternal inheritance according to the promise in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8, verses 46 through 59. At that time Jesus said to the crowds of the Jews, "Which of you will convict me of sin? If I speak to you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear is that you are not of God." The Jews therefore in answer said to him, "Are we not right in saying that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not speak for my own glory. There is one who seeks and who judges. Amen, amen, I say to you, if anyone keep my word, he will never see death." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if anyone keep my word, he will never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you do not know him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be like you, a liar. But I know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to thee, before Abraham came to be, I am." They therefore took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Amen, amen, I say to you, if anyone keep my word, he will never see death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, when you walked into church today, a whole different feeling Holy Mother of the Church has. It's as if there's a sadness that she wants us to have part with, and for good reason. I know when I walked into the church this morning, I had the same feeling as when I walk into a church and we're preparing for a funeral. Of course, more drastic. We don't drape all the statues in purple. But then again, there's something more drastic than just a funeral that we are contemplating. It is the death of our Lord, the price that he paid for our sins and our transgressions. There's another death that we are here to contemplate today. We read about it in the scriptures. We read about that on account of the price that Christ paid, The blood of Christ, who through the Holy Spirit offered himself unblemished unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Dead works. When we contemplate what Holy Mother of the Church and Scripture is telling us today, is that we need to stop for a moment and consider eternal life and eternal death. Being of the kingdom or being apart from the kingdom. Accepting the invitation and making good use of the opportunities in order to have what we can have, or not caring, as we should care, about our eternal salvation. Being either with God or not with God. And it's here important, I think, for us to really become very serious about this. Consider the world that we live in, only for a moment, because it only needs a moment. And know the direction that it's going, and either we can go in that same direction, or we have to do our part to stay away from that direction. And what is that direction? Well, our Lord says it very clearly way back in his day, and it's more apparent in this day and age, I think. Straight and narrow is the way that leads to salvation, and few there are that go. Wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are that follow. But it's not because we can't make it. It's just because most people, they really don't want to make it. They don't want to do what they need to do in order to become a saint. In order to become a saint, in order to be a disciple of Christ, there are things you have to get rid of. You have to root out. You can't play the game with your eternal salvation. It's not a game. But too many people play it. They think they can make up their own rules of the game. God understands. Yes, he does. He absolutely does. He understands whether or not you love him or not. He understands if you want to be with him for all eternity. He understands if you have made him a part of your time. Now, we can't go and get ourselves distracted by asking ourselves stupid questions like, well, look, at everybody else thinks I'm okay, right? Or what's everybody else doing? Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right. No, the commandments are pretty stable. As we see when we read Scripture, last week, our Lord worked this miracle, right? We read in Scripture how he multiplied the loaves and fish for 5,000 men, fed them all, and had leftovers. And people wanted to take him by force and make him their king. And he hid themselves. Why? They wanted to make him their kind of king, and his kingdom is not of this world. As he most clearly stated to Pontius Pilate. But when speaking of this kingdom, each and every one of us has been given an invitation. So what's our answer going to be? No one can make an answer for you but you. If we come to church, we go to confession, we come to Holy Communion, and then we go out and live like a pagan, that doesn't work. It says in Scripture that God's a jealous God. What does that mean? That means he wants our whole heart. That's the commandment. Love God with your whole heart. Your whole heart. You can't have a split heart. Split hearts don't work. You cannot serve two masters. You are either with me or you are against me. And if we consider the price that he paid so that we can have part with him in his kingdom, don't you think we should make our own effort? After all, we have a limited amount of time. Time runs out. Eternity begins. Those are the facts. It's time for us to quit playing games with our soul. Quit being involved in the games that are of the devil. And really guard the treasures that have been purchased for us. Now, this is a hard thing to talk about, because if you really are serious about it, there is a change that must take place. It doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual journey or your spiritual life, there's always a change that has to take place. Why? Because we are imperfect and we are headed towards the perfect. Isn't that what Christ tells us? Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So there always must be a change. If we ever get to a point and say, hey, I'm good. I am good. Good to go. That's when you have to start to worry. Remember the two men who came to the temple to pray? One came up, thought he was pretty good. The other was in the back asking for mercy. The two go home. Only one goes home justified, and it's not the man in the front who thought he was pretty good. A stark reminder to us today in that how man has forced Christ to hide from them. By untruth, by sin, by pride, by arrogance, self-indulgence, all those things that we hear about. And this is where we have to become serious with ourselves and say, yeah, no, I have to weed these things out. Now is the time. I have to wake up. Now is the time for me to rise from sleep. Let me take a serious look at the price Christ paid. Not just a fancy story of 2,000 plus years ago. A reality. Proven reality. Proven by the greatest miracle that he worked to demonstrate that if we're willing to die to ourselves, we can have part with that victory that he had at Easter. That victory over the devil, over death, and over sin. But we have to do our part. These last 2 weeks of Lent, let us reiterate our efforts. Let us examine ourselves. Perhaps we haven't had such a great Lent. Should we throw up our hands and give up? No, that's foolish. Let's start. So you know what? I'm going to have to get some things down. I have to start doing some spiritual exercises a little bit differently. Maybe I have to abide by the church laws of fast a little bit more closely. These last 2 weeks, I'm going to get down on my knees a little more often. I'm going to have a humble and contrite heart. I'm going to talk to God, and I'm going to ask God to communicate with me. I'm going to give him time to talk. I'm going to do penance. I'm going to give up things, or I'm going to do things. Remember, prayer and penance. If you want to really be healed spiritually, and some even would say physically, do prayer and penance. Combination given to us by our Lord himself to do away with evil and demons. Prayer and penance. We have 2 weeks till Easter. Let's make them 2 holy weeks. Not just in title, but in reality. And remember, holiness has one source and only one source. And that's him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.